This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The question is, were he ever to get near the White House, what would be those conflicts? Who does he owe money to? Well, he owes you the answers to that, and he should provide them.
Hillary Clinton goes for the jugular talking about Donald Trump's taxes. He counters back and says, listen, I'm in the middle of an audit. My lawyers don't think that I should release the taxes in the middle of an audit, but I can certainly do that. He shot back in the beginning on trade, talking about NAFTA and how disastrous NAFTA was and how she was a part of the NAFTA culture. The first debate, what was real, what wasn't, what are the fact checkers saying, and of course, your reaction to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, part one, because remember, there are three debates. Did anybody make any sort of headway when it comes to winning over the undecideds? Because there are a lot of undecideds, supposedly, if you believe the polls in this election. And I do. I think that there are people who are saying they are undecided. This is exactly who both of them were going for, because when you have your rabid supporters, really, no matter what, they're going to be there. They're going to be there for you on election day. But it's the people that you have to try to win over that can make a difference, especially if we're to believe that this election really is coming down to a coin flip. In other words, so close in the polls, and these polls keep predicting the same thing. Maybe a few points in his direction, a few points in her direction, depends on what poll we're looking at, but we know they're really, really nip and tuck. I mean, those are the facts. I don't care if you're left of left or right of right. The facts are the polls show they're pretty much dead even. So to me, as I've been saying all along here on America Tonight, the three debates really put the mustard on this whole thing. Deciding whether or not you're going to buy into one or to the other when you are in between and can't decide. Some have already decided they're not going to change their mind. The diehards are there, period. The diehards are there. So she says he owes money to foreign banks and pays no federal taxes, and you would find that he never has paid taxes, so he's not paying for veterans, he's not paying for police, he's not paying for firemen, he's not paying for infrastructure, and she really hammered that home. In the beginning of the debate, I'll tell you, I think that he came out really acting very much to himself, in other words, like containing himself, trying to have the decorum and being professional or presidential is a better word for that, trying to be presidential. And then the second half of the debate, it was a much different story. There was more back and forth where Trump talked about us being a debtor nation and that, you know, this is the problem, and she's had 30 years in the beginning of this. He said she has 30 years in government to do something about it. He talked a lot about the jobs, talked about, as I mentioned, NAFTA, and said it was the worst deal ever. So there was some back and forth there. And said, she said at one point, I know you live in your own reality. So the question is, and what we'll discuss, and we'll let you hear little snippets of this along the way, is who won the debate, or did anyone make up any ground in what is the very tricky middle area? very tricky middle area. Justin Duckham was at Hofstra University from Talk Media News. He was there for the show, watching it. So, Justin, first of all, what was it like for you to see, after you've been to both of the conventions, et cetera, what was it like for you to be at this debate?
Well, it was pretty interesting. You know, this was a scenario that a lot of people just never really expected to happen. You know, there was an initial sort of surrealism that overtook the opening moments, the fact that something that you had imagined for quite some time, this moment of Donald Trump facing off against Hillary Clinton, was actually taking place. But then from there, you know, it certainly didn't necessarily have the, you know, major fireworks that a lot of people were expecting. There was there was certainly some, you know, harsh moments between the two. But overall, a lot of the rhetoric that they've had has not really been anything too far out of what we've seen this campaign season.
Yeah, was the thought among the media, because let's face it, everybody gossips about this, that was there any clear-cut winner? As you said, there was no fireworks, really.
Well, I mean, there were, but, you know, at this point, expectations were at a level where, you know, people expected someone to really just go out of line, particularly probably Donald Trump. You know, towards the end, he started suggesting that he had an attack that he was saving, but that he just did not believe that it would be appropriate. Something that he said would go against Clinton and, you know, her family, saying it was not very nice. And the Donald Trump that a lot of people saw on the campaign trail and were kind of expecting to possibly show up tonight would have been the Donald Trump who would have actually used that line of attack.
Yeah. How many media people were there? Was it, again, was it like the Super Bowl of politics again?
It certainly was, yeah. I think there was easily about 1,000 or more reporters out here. And then there was the Overflow Center as well, which was pretty packed.
Wow. So I know how you are. You get up close in person. You probably got selfies with everyone. Did you just kind of squeeze your way into the front?
you know, it was one of those things where it wasn't me trying. It just kind of happened.
Sure.
Initially, we were put in the Overflow Center, and then they called me and told me, hey, you know, if you want to get the second row seat in the Filing Center, we're happy to give that to you. So I don't know what happened. I didn't really try to do it, but it was an interesting spin room experience. You know, we had a lot of people coming out. Interestingly enough, we had Don King playing a role. He was, you know, kind of a pretty interesting character, to say the least. You know, we had a lot of Clinton surrogates coming out as well, Representative Adam Schiff, David Plouffe, who was one of the masterminds of the Obama campaign, you know, Senator Claire McCaskill, who is a rising, you know, star in the Democratic Party for quite some time now. And then on the Trump side of things, we had Giuliani, we had Jeff Sessions, we had you know, Admiral Michael Flynn, and sort of a lot of the usual characters we've seen on the campaign trail.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff. So kind of a draw, you think, in other words, because it wasn't massive fireworks?
You know, I think it would be a draw right now. You know, it really has to see where exactly this is interpreted. You know, Donald Trump certainly spent a good portion of the time speaking over Hillary Clinton. You know, there's a possibility that tomorrow we could wake up and everyone decides that that's him being a bully. We could also wake up in a, you know, another reality in the morning, not to sound, you know, too spacey about it, where people decide that, you know, he came off as sort of a more powerful presenter, somebody who was able to reach average voters better. So, you know, it's still sort of in that digestive moment where we're still trying to figure out how exactly this is going to be interpreted from the people who are watching at home.
Exactly. All right, well, have some fun out there, and thanks so much for stopping by, as always, Justin Duckham. Coming up next, Tracy Brown, a body language expert, to interpret the body language of both candidates. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria,
bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs has learned the importance of good fats for good health. Good fats are essential fatty acids, and they're called essential because they're necessary for good health. That's why he uses Ultimate EFAs from Youngevity.
Among the fats, the most powerful are two fats that are referred to as essential fatty acids. Now, nothing in the world of nutrition is more important than essential fatty acids. The word essential means you better get it in your diet or you're in big trouble. Essential fatty acids are perhaps the most multifunctional and versatile of all the essential nutrients. Essential fatty acids are not just important for the heart, they're important for everything in the body.
To get the essential fatty acids that are so important to your body, order Ultimate EFAs from Youngevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com. Order today.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
I have a feeling that by the end of this evening, I'm going to be blamed for everything that's ever happened.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, why not? You know, just join the debate by saying more crazy things.
We're talking about the first presidential debate, one of the lighter moments. Big shout out to my homeboys in Philly and Jersey listening to us on WVNJ and to our friends on the West Coast in Los Angeles listening. Kate Delaney here on America Tonight. Tracy Brown is in our virtual green room. She's a leading body language expert. Oh, luckily, she can't see mine right now. Author and a sought-after keynote speaker. Of course, she's a big-time guest on TV and radio news shows like this one, revealing secrets that are right there in front of our eyes and not hidden in plain sight by our politicians, or maybe they are. She even trains lawyers, just like I do, only she trains them how to pick and persuade a jury using body language. I teach them how to talk, so that's an interesting combo, isn't it? She's the author of two books, Body Language Confidential, Tactics Every Secret Agent Salesperson and Kindergarten Teacher Should Know, and her new Amazon bestseller, Persuasion Point. Hey, Tracy, thanks for joining us.
Kate, it's so good to be here. How are you?
I'm great. You know, this debate was interesting, and I was thinking about you so much during the debate. I know that for people listening, Tracy's in the Denver area, and you were on the Fox affiliate in Denver, right, tonight?
I was. I went, and I watched the entire debate with the Democratic leader for the state and also the Republican leader for the state. I was sitting right in the middle of the two of them. And so, you know what? They were two really level-headed, good people.
I like that. They were level-headed. So I bet they could learn a lot from you. Body language is so big right now. People are starting, and you've clued into this for a long time, but now other people are starting to realize how big and how important it is and how it can can be perceived by people, certain faces you make or how you move your arms, your legs, how you sit, the whole thing. I mean, it's a gambit. That's why you mentioned your book, of course. So when we saw Donald Trump, and some of the network anchors were making a lot of this, were making a lot about this, when Hillary Clinton would say something back as they started to kind of go back and forth, he sort of grimaced. What did the grimace mean? What does that tell you when someone's doing that and kind of shaking their head?
Well, the grimaces that Donald Trump, you know, usually, it's like, nothing happened that we didn't normally see from either candidate. But the grimaces that, you know, Trump, does, they have a lot to do with anger, actually. And so it's a really, like, constricted lip. Mm-hmm. And it could, you could see him almost pursing his lips sometimes. And so, when it got to subjects that were really close to, business and finance, not only did we see this anger from him, because he doesn't think Hillary knows what she's doing at all, but I even saw a snarl from him that shows contempt. And contempt is defined as moral superiority. So he discounts her in every way and believes that he's the king of the world when it comes to business finance, and he believes that it translates to government finance. I don't know either way, but that's his belief.
Wow, and that makes sense. I think you can see that based on what you were saying. Absolutely. What kind of clues does Hillary give off when she's listening to what Trump was saying, and you could tell she wasn't agreeing, and she was showing a lot of teeth? She was sort of grinning at some of the comments that he was making about her.
Well, a couple of things that I saw from Hillary is, well, one thing in particular, she curled her lips back a few times over her teeth.
Yeah.
And it was when Donald was going off on whatever subject he was on very forcefully, very much against her, as, you know, you would expect from him. But she held back. If you notice, he would interrupt her frequently.
Yep.
She did much less of that. And so I don't know if she was being polite or if she was doing the typical woman thing, which happens because we just kind of hold back sometimes, but at several points, I saw it four or five times, she did not engage when she had all the information and all of the ability to do that. So as to why, don't know, but yeah, she did not engage fully.
Yeah, so that's interesting. You don't know why she didn't engage, but I would agree with you there, too. I felt like there's a few times where she wanted to jump in and she didn't, but she didn't even give the signal of that. Like you say, when she's curling her lips back, she didn't give the signal of, okay, I'm trying to jump in with her arm movements or anything like that. She did give the signal, I think, of holding back. You're absolutely right. Was there any telltale sign from either one of them that's like, oh, they're not telling the truth, or they feel super uncomfortable with this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So we will never see Donald's tax returns. he said, I will release my returns, as he shook his head no. And so we are not going to see those returns. We might as well change the subject. This is not going to happen. And then when the subject of race came up, Hillary is very uncomfortable with that subject. She did some itching right before she was about to speak, and just after the question was asked. And the thing is, when we get anxious about something, oftentimes our face will itch because our blood pressure goes up, and that literally expands the capillaries, the really fine ones in our face, and so we'll have an itch. It'll seem really natural, but it can often be caused by nervousness. And so she, you know, she did her best to answer the question, but yeah, not 100% comfortable on that. And you know, it's a tough thing. I don't know that anybody could really confidently say that they could solve that. And let's see, she did. I know the email situation.
Mm.
She shrugged her shoulders several times during that conversation when she was explaining her position, maybe even defending herself. And so there's still a lot of uncertainty in that for her. I've had the good fortune to be able to talk to an ex-CIA agent who said, hey, you know what, that's kind of standard up until now, it's been standard operating procedure for folks in her position to do that. And, you know, she just got busted. All of a sudden it became important. The media picked up on it. And so here she was just doing what, you know, she was told to do, what everybody else would normally do. And now she's in big trouble. And so there you have this uncertainty because there's that, you know, she bumped up against some double standard that got imposed on her. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the future, but I doubt any person in her position will have their own email server again.
Oh, I don't think so either. And then at the end, they shook hands, and he put his hands on her back. Did you notice that?
He did that at the first, and he did that at the end. And that says, hey, I'm in control here. And I have not seen the I'm sure there's a stat somewhere of who spoke the most. Like, you know, did Trump take most of the time, or did Hillary take most of the time? I'm betting Trump has much more talk time in that. I mean, he's bound and determined to be in control, and that's how he treated her with his physiology as well.
Right. So with the back, the hand. Wow, I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah, he's trying to guide her around, you know.
And I think you're right on the talk time. I guarantee he had the most talk time. And then he had the last word, too, on the last question, where she didn't so much go for the jugular when she was, you know, asked about, will you accept how the people vote? And he made a political, you know, made a campaign statement about how he was the one to lead, da-da-da-da. But, yes, of course, at the end, he threw in, I would accept what the people, you know, the people vote. How the people vote, I will accept it,
well,
which I thought was interesting.
I don't really have a lot of choice.
No, they don't. They don't. It was just as interesting how they turned it around. And so you know this. Now they're going to go back, and they'll sit with body language experts, and they'll look at the words, and they'll look at everything else, and then they'll go into the next debate. And maybe it's going to be a little bit different.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, in the next debate, let's talk about Lester Holt for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you're in the media, and I would say fully capable of leading or moderating a debate like this with some of the toughest, you know, characters around. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on, because Lester was nowhere. I mean, he just let him run.
That's what I think, too. Yeah.
I mean, what...
I think he was bad. I think he, that's exactly what he did. It was like he just said something and then let them go wild, and then all of a sudden you would hear him pop up. And I think everybody, I was getting texts from other people in the media. I was getting texts from people who were there. There was like 1,000 media people there at Hofstra, and they were saying the same thing, Tracy, absolutely, that he was nowhere, which was so crazy. Will you come back on again in the next debate? We'd love to have you back on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's do it.
Absolutely. You're terrific. And I'm going to tell everybody, to get Tracy's free report on how to become a human lie detector or even have her speak at your next conference, because this body language stuff is huge, go to bodylanguagetrainer.com. Thanks to Tracy Brown. We'll be back with more on the debate next here on America Tonight.
Back to the music in a minute, but first I've got a special free giveaway. I've got 100 free trials of the Belly Flattening Breakthrough Newbiotics here, and I've been authorized to give them away to the station's first 100 callers right now. So if you want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly, call now. Don't even wait till I stop talking. Only one free trial per caller, though. Don't be greedy. Okay, here's the number. 1-800-983-5628. I'm guessing it works pretty fast because it says here that if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, you're supposed to reduce use to every other day. And it looks like it's made from natural ingredients, too, scientifically formulated to cleanse pounds of toxic sludge from your body. Okay, this is it. If you want a flatter belly, be one of the first 100 callers right now to claim one of these free trials. 1-800-983-5628. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-983-5628. Call now for details. 1-800-983-5628.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries. Aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
That was more than a mistake. That was done purposely. Okay, that was not a mistake. That was done purposely. When you have your staff taking the Fifth Amendment, taking the Fifth so they're not prosecuted. When you have the man that set up the illegal server taking the Fifth, I think it's disgraceful.
Donald Trump taking a shot at Hillary Clinton over the emails, the whole server kerflunkle that has dogged Hillary Clinton, for which she said she made a mistake and she had it over to do. If she could do it over again, she would do it differently. She mentioned that during this 90 plus minutes in this first debate. One of the things, and Tracy Brown brought it up, is Lester Holt as a moderator. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give this guy? You know, this was a huge audience. Probably it exceeds the record of 80.6 million peeps who watched the 1980 debate between Jimmy Carter and his Republican challenger, Ronald Reagan, and we know what happened there. So Monday's debate was carried on all the broadcast networks, cable networks like Fox News, CNN, all that, streamed live on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Big, big, big audience. And I would have to say, I think Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, in some respects, it was like a draw, as I mentioned at the top. But when it comes to moderating Lester Holt, oh, could you have been more passive? Really? I mean, honestly, pretty much that is the word I would say. He was a passive moderator. And is it because of the guff that other moderators have taken? So now there you are with knowing there's this huge audience. You have these questions. You have to be sharp. You have to be the extractor. You have to stand on top of what's being said. You have to be there, be in the moment. And he was very passive, I thought. A moderator, to me, has to be a little bit more on fire than that. Not being part of the debate unless they go after you, because that doesn't make any sense, right? So, yeah, you want to be the extractor, but a little more of a live wire and being able to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I think she also made a good point, Tracy Brown, in saying how much talk time did Trump get versus Hillary Clinton? Well, part of that is she didn't jump in, right? She didn't interrupt. But he also, where was, he had no clock. Was there a clock on the debate, right? So here's the thing. Was there anything, you know, Hillary Clinton's people told Lester Holt to call out any inaccurate or false statements by Trump as they happened during the debate? Trump argued, by the way, that that kind of an approach would interrupt the proceedings and introduce potential bias. So, and of course, he has pushed for no moderator. Can you imagine? Let's just talk. Here's what I want to talk about. Here's what you want to talk about. Let's just go at it. I mean, you have to have a moderator, for goodness sake. There's no question about that. But I think for Holt, and I don't have anything against Lester Holt. He does some great news stories. But I think he was super passive. If I were in that role, I wouldn't have been as passive as he was. I wouldn't have been that. I mean, because if you're there, you definitely have to be a little bit more of a timekeeper, but you also have to, when you have to call baloney when you hear baloney on both sides of that. You have to, here's a question. You're not answering the question, just like any network news anchor would do, reporter would do, extractor would do. If you ask a question, which they were pretty simple questions, they weren't these complex sentences with three different ideas in them. If they're not being answered, then you got to go back at it. That wasn't the question I asked. The question was boom, boom, boom. But we never really heard that. Now, there were a couple times when he asked both candidates to answer the same question in turn, which created something interesting between Clinton and Trump. He asked both, why are you a better choice than your opponent at creating jobs that will put more money in workers' pockets? So, you know, it's interesting. I think part of this is because of Matt Lauer getting trashed when he did the town hall interviews, when he moderated the town hall interviews, because he had a significant part of the interview with Clinton that he devoted to Clinton, to her deleted emails, but ignored some of the controversies with Trump, which Clinton supporters said, oh, give me a break there. You know, he's obviously focusing his attention on everything with her, about her, but nothing about Trump. So I think that he was treading lightly is what I think. I do. I mean, constantly, too, both of them talked over his attempts to pull them in. I mean, Trump just ignored Holt, really, trying to get him to, you know, go to, okay, your time's up, let's go to Hillary Clinton. He just ignored that. It's like, so there's no question. If I timed this, and I wish I had, and I'll find out the time, I guarantee it. Definitely, you know, it's like a football game. Because you all know I like sports, and we talk about it. And, of course, we have our Nail the Score competition that you compete in on Tuesday into Wednesday, which is our last segment of the second hour. And this was very much like sports. So if I were talking about a coach that didn't have great clock management, and so one side got the ball more. One side got the ball more, and I definitely think it was Trump. So that's to his advantage, to be able to control. To be able to control the situation, take over, just ignore Lester Holt, and she didn't do that. You know, the whole thing about the tax returns, does the public's right to know about your tax returns outweigh your personal privacy? And then when Trump said he would release his returns, when Clinton released the 33,000 emails deleted from a private server, Holt said, so it's negotiable. He did keep his questions short, which I did think that was good, and they were pretty direct. that was good. As an extractor or moderator, again, you get into these crazy, long-winded questions, and it's like, oh, what did you just ask? So that part was done well. He just was too passive for my money. I think there was times where he just let the train go running wild. And it's like he disappears, like, whoa, is this the Emmys? Does he have a seat filler? Did he go to the bathroom? What happened there? I don't understand. And like I said, I mean, listen, the guy does great news reports. I've seen some great reporting work from Lester Holt. And I'm sure so part of that was probably some of it had to play into, oh, my gosh, you're doing this moderating. And, you know, this is the chance to shine. Let's not pull a Matt Lauer. I mean, he didn't ask Trump about any of the comments about Muslims, Mexicans, women, any of that kind of stuff. None of that. The whole news media thing, the personal business interests and responsibility as president, blah, blah, blah. Clinton didn't get any direct questions about the Benghazi terror attacks. I thought for sure that was going to be, because Trump got a lot of time with that, I thought for sure he would go for the jugular there. That didn't happen. Or the deplorables comment. That didn't happen. So the whole moderating thing has been a big issue with these debates from the very beginning of the campaign. Remember, he criticized Fox News host Megyn Kelly, Trump did, for the question she asked in the first Republican candidates debate about 14 months ago, and then that prompted him to boycott a debate sponsored by Fox before the Iowa caucus in January. So part of that, I believe, that plays into it, and that's the reason why we saw Lester Holt the way he was. I want to make sure that you get a chance, yes, you get a chance, to serve up your opinions. You know, you can do that by shooting me an email at americatonight.net or flipping me a call at 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283, and we're hashing out this debate. The reality is, I think that's going to be a massive audience, whether people tuned in, tuned out, liked some of it, didn't like some of it, we analyze it upside down and all over the place. I think that we're going to find that the numbers are incredible. And one thing I was very surprised about, and if I were the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton, I would have definitely put this on my list, but maybe there's a reason why not, because the bank's too big to fail. But Wells Fargo, right? So they say Wells Fargo's fake accounts have been around for a long time, right? Where employees opened unauthorized accounts to meet these crazy sales goals. And they were going on, they say, way before 2011. There was a former Wells Fargo branch manager who has been gone from the bank for a while, and she talked about it. Because we were also stunned to learn that the Wells Fargo employees had opened as many as 2 million fake accounts. So 5,300 people were fired as part of this whole scam, and the Justice Department launched an investigation 2 weeks ago. There have been two congressional hearings. The CEO was skewered, and he should have been, in the Senate last week, and the House hearing is scheduled for this Thursday. Perfect thing to bring up. But neither one of them touched the Wells Fargo thing, and Lester Holt didn't ask anything about that. When we're talking about finance, I thought that would be the perfect thing to throw in, especially you're talking about the rockin' economy and how it fell to crap in 2008. Well, here you go, Wells Fargo, look what's happening there. But that was not brought up at all. So to me, that was probably a miss, probably by the Clinton campaign, I guess, where she could have used it to her advantage when he was talking about the banks and the foreign banks. And, you know, but there could have been a reason for that. I'm not sure what that reason is, because you have to go back to them saying, well, 2011, they were setting up those fake accounts. Interesting stuff, huh? We got a ton of email. We're going to go to the mailbag for sure. You're going to hear more, rather, from the debate. And you can always dive in, 855-266-5283. Meet you in a few.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Are the answers to your present and future hidden in your past? Akashic readings help you learn to unlock the answers for love, finances, weight loss, self-esteem, confusion, grief and loss, and more. Akashic email readings by Dr. Kelly Maroon, PhD, are specially priced right now. Learn more at Dr. Kelly Maroon's website, akashicuniversal.com, spelled A-K-A-S-H-I-C, universal.com. Change your life today. Become one with your true path with intention on purpose. Visit akashicuniversal.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-954-9674. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-954-9674. That's 1-800-954-9674. 1-800-954-9674.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 This is a man who has called women pigs, slobs, and dogs, and someone who has said pregnancy is an inconvenience to employers, who has said women don't deserve equal pay unless they do as good a job as men.
Wow. So a little snippet from the first presidential debate. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great country. And your thoughts are certainly desired here. We'll jump to the mailbag, but let me throw out the numbers, 855-266-5283, 5283. Taxes, race, terror, all on the table in this debate. An interesting side note here. Who won the first presidential debate? I polled some colleagues. I looked at some other results from listening across the board to all the networks, no matter what way they slanted. And it seems as though many were saying that it was kind of a draw and that Trump keeps the people who like Trump and Hillary Clinton keeps the people who were already in her camp. And the in-betweens, the undecideds, the I'm walking around in circles and I don't know which way I'm going to go, they have not made up their mind yet. And I saw different groups, different focus groups too around the country. I peered into a couple of them One of them in the Dallas area, one of them in New York, one of them on the West Coast in Los Angeles, meaning local stations brought in people to watch and then asked regular people what they thought. And that was kind of the consensus. And that they wanted more, what are your plans? What are your plans? And I heard somebody say, you know what? 75% of this debate was about them. And I wanted to know what their plans were as far as health is concerned, our country's concerned, the problems we're having. And they felt that this person felt like they didn't get that. All right, let's go to Everett in Washington. Hey, Everett, how are you?
Great. I thought Lester Holt was, he wasn't that great.
Nah, he was passive. He was too passive, yeah. And he didn't control anything. He just kind of let it go.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I thought they looked like two Muppets up there, Miss Piggy and that goofy chef going at it.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like Punch and Judy almost. Like the Punch and Judy show. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait until Saturday Night Live does a skit on that.
Oh, me either. You read my mind because it's coming back. They're smart. They know politics is their bag. And that's coming back, yeah. I think, this week. So, they'll have something good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Do you think anybody's minds would be changed by this debate? I don't think so.
No, it's too soon.
Too soon. I agree.
Yeah.
I think
they didn't really get into the real dirt and everything about it. And it's more like a gossip column tonight or something, you know? It's like, he said, she said. And hopefully, it seemed like he was picking on Trump more than Hillary. And
yeah, it did seem, I like the way you said that. It did seem like, Everett, it did seem like he said, she said, like a gossip kind of show. You're right. Almost like TMZ. Yeah. That's what it was like, because then you heard that comment, what she said there, and then he had comments like that with her. So I think when these focus groups were saying, well, there's so much I didn't really hear that I wanted to hear, hardcore stuff about XYZ. What are the real plans? What's this? What's that? We didn't really get into that. Yeah, so your observation is, I think, on the money for sure. But we totally agree on Lester Holt.
I was amazed Trump didn't take the bait when she was saying stuff about him. And I think I was thinking, man, he's going to say something about Clinton and his affairs and stuff.
Yep.
But he did. He was pretty cool about it.
He was smart to do that, I think, because he did say, you're not playing nice. It was not nice what you said about me. Remember, he kept saying, you spent all that money on those spots. It was not nice, because it's pretty much giving you, he's pretty much telling you, listen, it would have been so easy to take her out. It would have been so easy to talk about Bill Clinton, and that's what he was alluding to, that I'm not going to go that low. And he said family. He said your family. So you're right. I think that's what he meant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was smart. That was smart. If I was his campaign manager, I would tell him not to do that, too, because he can't win in that case. I don't think that's, because that's already been said. It's already out there. There's enough. But he doesn't have to kick up that dirt. That's old news, but it can be put out there by somebody else. So pretty interesting. Now, you watch, though.
Oh, yeah. But there's two more to go, so who knows what's going to happen.
I agree. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in these next two. Everett, thanks so much for checking in with us. We appreciate it. And Everett was in agreement with a lot of people who emailed me right after the debate. Some of you just jumped on right away. I was surprised. I got lots of emails earlier in the day. But the mailbag was flooded with so many people that wanted to throw in their 2 cents. So on that note, let's turn to the mailbag quickly. And this is an abbreviated version. So in the mailbag, we get this one from Frank, who's listening to us in Arkansas. And Frank says, Kate, I got to tell you, I'm kind of one of those undecideds. And while everybody's probably groaning, I mean, listen, I'm not a big fan of Hillary Clinton's, but I just am not a big fan of Donald Trump's either. I usually vote Republican, but I'm kind of confused as to what I'm going to do. I want to know more specifics. I just don't want to be screwed again on taxes, on business, on health, all the things that have really taken a toll on my family. I am the middle class family man. Yeah, you know what? And you're certainly not alone in that department. I think, Frank, that a lot of people feel the same way. What's in it for me? So you're going to be president. you're the leader of the free world. We got some problems out here in middle America where you could take a vacation, you could put your kid through school, you could take a breath, you could retire. Now we are freewheeling at the craps table. Whether you have an education or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, some of the smartest people I know didn't go to college and will make more money than I could ever make in my lifetime. They have grit. They rolled up their sleeves. They went, dug in. They went after it. And they weren't worried about the paper because they saw the people around them with the paper weren't making that much money. And then you have people who kill themselves to get through school. Everybody is pushing and praying and doing everything they can, scraping together every penny. Now, if they became at certain times a doctor or a lawyer, boom, they made some cash. Or they were a pilot or they did some job like that that paid. But now even those jobs, because of regulations and how the country has changed, not all of them are guaranteed walk-in, big bucks, pay off your loans. And speaking of loans, we got this one from Chris. Kate, I just got out of college. I have $120,000debt in loans. I'm an accountant, and I make a pretty decent living, but by my calculation, I'll be paying off this debt for a very, very long time, and it scares me to think whoever is president, the financial picture for so many of us really kind of does hang in the balance. I wanted more specifics, and I didn't really get those specifics from either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I am one of the undecideds. Wow. So another undecided reaching out to America Tonight, the little show that could. I say it's about the conversation. The welcome mat is out. It's not all right. It's not all left. And it's sometimes the in-between. And the in-between is saying, I'm reserving my judgment. And there is two more presidential debates for sure. So let's see what happens after the next debate. What happens after the next debate? All right, this one is from Barney, who's listening to us in Sarasota, Florida. I just talked to a friend today in Sarasota, Florida, my good pal Mary Lou D, who is right there in your neck of the woods, who's telling me it was hot in the 90s. She said, oh, it's so hot here. So anyway, the question becomes, who do you think won the debate? I've said it. I think it's kind of a draw. I think it was kind of a draw because, to me, if I'm the campaign manager, if I'm Kellyanne Conway, I feel really good. She's the campaign manager for Clinton. I feel really good about the way he started. Not so much about the tail end of that, but I don't think he lost anybody. And there were definitely people cheering for him, and she had a smattering of applause, too. So I think it was kind of a draw. Could go either way, much like this election. I think this second one's going to be pretty darn interesting. Thanks to you, and that really super tall guy on the stilts in the back listening to America Tonight. Yeah, you. Thanks. Appreciate you.
Attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.